Peter in Wonderland by Jesse H. Speed. Chapter 2. The Fall. Peter fell. The rush of air roared in his ears, louder than traffic, louder than the hiss of the kebab shop vent, or the thin drip of his leaky tap back home. The hole swallowed him whole, soft earth, giving way to something deeper. Some kind of darkness that didn't feel cold or wet, but endless, like floating in black water under a starless sky. He didn't scream. He'd fallen before. Back when he was small, light enough to ride the wind like a kite tail, light enough to believe he'd never touch the ground again. This falling almost felt like that. The darkness shimmered. He thought he saw stars bloom behind his eyes, tiny pinpricks of Neverland skies. He remembered the way the moon hung low and fat over the island's curve. So bright, you could see the shadows of mermaids playing in the coves. He remembered the lost boys, their faces only half formed now, laughter echoing like the call of distant gulls. They were always laughing, fighting, or crying. Only for a moment, never for long. They never grew old enough for sorrow to stick. He remembered the smell of bonfires by the shore, the salt on his skin, the taste of stolen cake, and the sharp bark of the pirates when they found him skulking around their ship for fun. He remembered Tinkerbell, not his beloved furry cat, but the real one, all jangling bells and tiny fists and words that came out like angry light. She'd called him foolish more times than he could count. He spun in the dark, drifting like a leaf in an autumn gust. Down here, time stretched like, what? Bubblegum came to mind. He couldn't tell if he'd been falling for seconds or hours or days, just endless stretching. He remembered leaving. Well, not leaving. That was the truth that had rotted in his gut for years. He hadn't left Neverland. Neverland had left him. They came on a night thick with mist. Men in coats too heavy for that warm place, faces hidden behind painted masks. He'd been half asleep, curled in the crook of a tree when they grabbed him. Big hands, the crack of branches under their boots. The lost boys had scattered like startled birds. Tinkerbell's light flared, furious, but it hadn't mattered. The men had powder, a dust darker than any fairy's. They pressed it to his mouth, his nose. The world tilted. He woke in London. Not the London he remembered. Not the rooftops. Not the darling's nursery window or the warm fire. An orphanage. The smell of bleach and boiled cabbage. A mattress too thin for dreaming. They called him Boy. He told them at first that he was Peter the Pan, and he needed to get back to the second star on the right. To get home. Peter had been 13, or so they'd decided. The woman with the soft voice and the clipboard said so. He didn't feel 13. He felt timeless. The orphanage was an old Victorian building on the edge of London, a sagging brick pile that had once been a private school for girls. The other children watched Peter the way stray dogs watch each other, careful, curious, ready to bite or bolt. He told them stories at first. He told them about the island that never slept, where you could hear the mermaids singing, if you cupped your hands just right, where the lost boys painted war stripes on their cheeks, and the pirates never caught you unless you let them. At night, lying on a mattress that smelled of stale soap and mildew, he'd whisper to the boy in the next bed over, Tommy, with the big front teeth and the permanent sniffle about flying. How you just needed the right thought, the right push, and up you'd go. Tommy believed him for 3 whole nights. Then Tommy tried to jump from the low wall behind the kitchen block, arms flapping like a broken kite. He scraped his knees bloody and told the matron Peter had dared him. Peter didn't get pudding for a week. They sent him to the corner more times than he could count. Peter, you face that wall and you think about what you've done. He'd stand there tracing cracks in the plaster with his eyes, pretending they were secret maps back to Neverland. But the cracks never led anywhere. One winter, he climbed onto the roof. The snow made the slate slippery under his bare feet. He stood on the peak of it, arms wide, shirt flapping like wings. He'd waited for the wind to lift him. But the London wind was heavy that day. Heavy and tired, It pressed him down instead of pulling him up. They found him after a caretaker spotted his footprints from the yard. They dragged him down, smacked the cold out of him with hot tea, and shouted warnings. He didn't try again. Not the roof, anyway. After that, he kept the stories to himself. Tucked them under his pillow, deep in the quiet part of his mind where the Lost Boys never grew up and the pirates never won. Where Tinker Bell's laughter still sounded like tiny bells, instead of the slow, steady purr of the cat that would come years later. When the other children asked who he was, he'd say, "No one special." Because that was what they wanted him to be. No one special at all. But he still thought, sometimes, that if he could just find the right wind, the right open window, he could slip back. But the windows stayed shut. The wind stayed low. The stars stayed ordinary. Until now. Peter opened his eyes. He hadn't realized he'd closed them, and saw something shifting below him. Light flickering like candle flames in deep water. He was still falling. But maybe, just maybe, he was falling toward something that remembered him. He felt the corner of his mouth tug up, the ghost of a boy's grin under a grown man's stubble. "About time," he whispered to the dark, and the hole swallowed him deeper still.